Vote-by-mail ballots are already on their way out to voters in Wisconsin, one of the most closely watched states in this year's midterm elections. In 2020, Wisconsin saw an explosion in the number of voters who used vote-by-mail ballots and absentee ballot drop boxes, thanks mostly to the pandemic. Then, led by former President Trump, many Republicans seized on those changes to spread baseless claims of voter fraud. Wisconsin Republicans even hired a special counsel to investigate the 2020 election. That special counsel found no evidence of widespread fraud. But the fight over how elections are run in this state remains a campaign issue in the midterms. And Republicans have vowed to change election laws if they win. Here and Now's Chris Bentley reports.
It's time for us to move on. I mean, if you look...
That's Robin Voss, Speaker of Wisconsin's Republican-controlled state assembly in August. He had just fired Special Counsel Michael Gableman and urged his party to move on from calls to decertify the 2020 election results, something he called constitutionally impossible. Voss was also eager to move on because he'd just won his primary against an opponent backed by Gableman and former President Trump.
And that's why we need to fire Robin Voss.
Despite the bad blood, Voss and other Republicans are working to overhaul the state's election laws in ways that could help Republicans like Trump win in the state. Here's Voss again, speaking to WISN.
Nothing about this doesn't say that we're not serious about solving the election fraud and things that we saw in 2020, but we also know that we cannot keep harping on it if we're going to move forward into 2022 and hopefully win the election.
Republican lawmakers have passed more than a dozen election measures to fix those problems, as Voss called them, including new restrictions on absentee voting and proposals that would give control of the state's traditionally nonpartisan elections commission to partisan officials. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has vetoed them all. So election law here hasn't changed much since 2020, at least legislatively.
One thing that has changed in Wisconsin is that policymaking around elections is now mostly done by courts.
Barry Burden directs the Elections Research Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
And we get, as a result, I think kind of a jerky set of policies where things get decided in surprising fashion. So I think it's actually a challenge for voters just to keep up with what is happening when courts are the ones now making policy.
Here are some examples. In July, a judge ordered cities to stop using absentee ballot drop boxes. In September, another ordered election clerks not to fill in missing information on witness certification envelopes that contain absentee ballots, potentially disqualifying some ballots because they're missing a detail like a zip code. Democrats and voting rights groups have effectively pushed back on other changes, including one that had banned people from turning in someone else's absentee ballot. That's crucial for Martha Chambers. She's paralyzed from the neck down. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court said voters like her couldn't have someone else turn in their ballot.
Even though I have somebody turn it in, I can fill it out by using a pen stick, it's called, or even putting a pen in my mouth. I can write out the ballot. So from there, someone turns in my ballot. Where is the fraud going to happen? I can't imagine.
Chambers and other voters with disabilities sued in federal court and won.
I was very happy. I was happy, and then part of me was, well, wait a minute. Why did we ever have to do this to begin with? We should have been able to vote just like anybody else.
The legal back and forth has already had an impact in marginalized communities, says Anita Johnson. She's with Souls to the Polls in Milwaukee. They're a voting rights and Get Out the Vote organization focused on Black communities.
Voting is already confusing. I don't know where to go to vote. I don't know how to register to vote. I don't have an ID to vote. It's confusing. So when you put these other little things with it, it's going to affect seniors, people with disabilities, people of color, because they're going to say, forget it, I'm not going to vote.
Another voting rights activist, Shantae Nelson, says frustrating voters is part of the point. She's Wisconsin State Director for the nonpartisan group All Voting is Local. I asked her why she thinks Wisconsin Republicans are pushing for election changes now.
I feel like the why is that Black and brown people turned out in mass numbers in 2020. And there has been a real attempt by some individuals in the state to limit the voice of Black and brown people within our electoral process.
Nelson calls the ban on drop boxes devastating and says restrictions on voting are designed to depress turnout, but won't work.
Particularly with Black and brown people, I can specifically speak as a Black woman. Within our culture, once you press us and you tell us we cannot do something, we will find a way. And so the chipping away won't work. It literally will force people to show you that we're not going to be moved and our voice will not be silenced.
black voter turnout could swing the races for governor and U.S. Senate. While statewide turnout was at an all-time high in 2020, Milwaukee's black majority ward saw fewer votes cast than in 2016. Democrats hoped that was a blip, due largely to the pandemic. And while Republicans would benefit from low turnout in heavily Democratic Milwaukee County, where nearly 70% of the state's African-American population lives, Republicans say they're not pushing election reforms to keep people from voting. Mark Jefferson is executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party. He says Republicans just want to go back to how things were before the pandemic, with fewer options for voting absentee.
I think the pandemic was used by the Democrats and a lot of Democrat election officials as an excuse to circumvent a lot of protections that have been in place for years and years and years. And now that those protections are again being implemented, they're complaining about it. Well, this wasn't, they shouldn't have gotten away with it in the first place, and they most certainly shouldn't get away with it in perpetuity.
Jefferson says Wisconsin Republicans have recruited thousands of poll workers and observers since 2020. Not to intimidate Democratic voters, he says, but to keep newly energized Republicans engaged.
The more people that you get involved with observing, with participating, the more transparency you have in these elections. The more transparency you have, the more faith people start having in these elections and having faith in the results.
But when it comes to restoring faith in elections, civil rights groups say Republicans are doing just the opposite by pushing or even flirting with conspiracy theories about the 2020 election.
I think we do see some loss of trust, and it's very disturbing.
Deborah Cronmiller is executive director of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, a nonpartisan group.
Our election here in Wisconsin was counted and recounted and recounted. None of it is questionable. Never has been, shouldn't be now. This is a narrative that has begun for the purpose of getting that conversation started in people's minds who want to believe that narrative.
She says the League of Women Voters recently hired someone to combat misinformation about voting. Since 2020, they started spending money on advertising for the first time.
Are you ready for the upcoming November 8th election? It can be hard to find unbiased information about the candidates running to represent you.
It's not just voting rights groups. Election administrators also say something has changed in Wisconsin since 2020.
Floor 5.
I meet Claire Woodall-Vogue in her office in Milwaukee City Hall. She's head of the city's election commission. She says since 2020, their office has been inundated with public records requests, lawsuits, and, disturbingly, threats like these.
I really sincerely hope you get what's coming to you, you fraudulent.
We're going to try you, and we're going to hang you.
I think it's definitely festering underneath the surface, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, more people are hurt, just like we saw on January 6th.
The stress is taking a toll. Milwaukee's Elections Commission has seen 5 of its 9 full-time employees leave since 2020. The city has raised salaries to entice people to stay and says it's refilled every position. At the same time, Woodall-Vogue says it's getting easier to recruit poll workers, or election inspectors as they call them, and they're helping her fight misinformation about voting.
We have trained our election inspectors on a lot more of the internal dynamics. We have signs on our machines letting voters know how they work. Our machines are never connected to the internet. They use private cell modems at the end of the night to transmit results.
Milwaukee, like most places, saw a surge in absentee voting during the pandemic, a tenfold increase in 2020 over previous levels. That's gone down, but they still get about 3 times as many absentee ballots as they did pre-pandemic. But changes could be coming.
You know, if Wisconsin becomes fully controlled by Republicans, we've seen the legislation, we've seen party platforms suggest hand-counting ballots on Election Day, which is just absolutely insane to think that a hand count on Election Day across the city at 180 polling places would be more accurate than a machine. It's a little terrifying, in fact. I think that all of the writing is on the wall for it to become more difficult for you to vote in Wisconsin.
The key to all of this is what happens in the governor's race.
That's Professor Barry Burden again. Republican candidate Tim Michaels has promised to call a special session to, quote, fix the election mess on day one. If he wins, that'd be the end of the Democrats' veto power from incumbent Tony Evers.
You're going to see, I think, a foot on the gas pedal in terms of new election laws if Tim Michaels is elected governor, and probably continued stalemate and lawsuits if Evers holds on.
No matter who the governor is, the courts will still have a say. There's a state Supreme Court election next year, too, that will determine which party holds the judicial majority and could influence just how much election laws change between now and the next presidential election in 2024. For Here and Now, I'm Chris Bentley.